welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms, here on Survivor Radio Network. Last week, we were blessed with a full bucket of advice from Candy Young, the athletic director for Delaware State. And if you missed it, you really missed a treat. So I would really strongly encourage you to go to www.chatinthegarden.com and go to the on-demand section and click and listen or download. So when I asked Candy what was her greatest accomplishment within the first 2 years as athletic director, she said, realizing I belong here. And I said, wow. There's a name for that. It's called the imposter syndrome. It's where you think any minute now you'll be found out and you don't belong in your current position. Now, or the thought of you were just given the position and you weren't qualified. Now, that's damaging self-talk to oneself. It's ironic that Candy would say this because I was in the middle of reading this book called The Empress Has No Clothes by Joyce Roche, which addresses the notion of the imposter syndrome. Now, if we were in a room, and I would ask everyone to raise their hand, if they ever felt that they had to burn the midnight oil themselves on top and to keep people from finding out that you really don't belong here. And you thought that even after being in a position for half a decade. Now, I'm not talking about staying on top of trends or gaining new skills to stay on top. I'm just talking about that negative self-talk that greets you every morning. Well, luckily, the author of the book I just mentioned, Joyce Roche. Roche is a former CEO of Girls Inc. and a former corporate executive. And she will actually be at the NACWA convention as one of the keynote speakers in October 12th through the 14th in Kentucky. Louisville, Kentucky. I strongly encourage every listener to register for the convention at www.nacwa.org. That's www.nacwa.org. Today's Chat in the Garden is set to help you counter the imposter syndrome by accepting your skills, your talents, and opportunities, and most importantly, accepting yourself. All to create the brand called You. And if you don't believe in yourself, who else will? So if you're just tuning in, I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, and this is A Chat in the Garden Where Significance Blooms. Our guest today is Cricket Lane, Assistant Athletic Director for the Tar Heels of University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Cricket, are you on the line?
I am. Thank you, Monique.
Well, I'm so glad that you are here with us. And before, yeah, we have cheers.
Oh, thank you. I love cheers.
Before we jump into a brand called You, I want our listeners to hear about your journey to the Tar Heel Administrator.
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure talking about stuff that I'm very passionate about. I've been fortunate to be in athletics for over 20-something years, and I started, my background is in counseling. I went to George Mason undergrad and thought I wanted to, you know, work with students, but I wanted to work in that age group of 18 to 25. And I decided to go back to school after that because to be a psychologist, you needed a little bit more education. So I ended up being at the University of Detroit, where my husband was, and they had started this program called Life Skills, and he was talking to me about, you know, needing to find somebody to present some workshops, and I'm like, oh, I can do that. So I ended up doing that part-time and absolutely fell in love with it and have been doing that ever since. I, from there, went to St. Francis University and started there as the assistant athletic director. So I was given more responsibilities. I was also director of their multicultural affairs department. So I really got to work a lot with other people on campus. It was a smaller campus, so you got to really collaborate a lot with other people. So I learned a lot being around them. And then when I got to the University of North Carolina, I tell everybody I was recruited, just like a student. I wasn't looking to move, but I got a call, and when I got here, I just fell in love with the area, the school, the people, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is for me. And this is the first time I really had a budget to work with. At the other schools, you learn how to work with what you got, and like I said, a lot of collaboration. So when I got here, I had, you know, funds to do more things in life skills, but I lost a little of that collaboration with other people on campus. And then we went through an AD change about 3 years ago, and he came in with a new philosophy about getting senior administrators involved more with sports supervision. And I was able to get two sports to supervise, and actually I'm a secondary sports supervisor. So there's a primary, which has been really helpful because I get to learn from her doing some things, and then she gives me some responsibilities also. So it's been a great 20-something years.
So how long have you been at North Carolina?
I've been here 11 years.
Okay.
Yeah. People always ask me, you know, do you want to be an athletic director at SWA? And I say no. I really, really enjoy what I do. I like the contact I have with the student athletes. I like being able to see them blossom and know that I have helped that in some way. So I will continue to learn and you know, educate myself on things, and I love the sports supervision, but I think for me, the higher you go, the less interaction you have with the student athletes.
Yeah, that's some truth to that. Let me ask you, now you do have your doctorate. What is that doctorate discipline?
Yes, it is in counseling education. Like I said, I really wanted to counsel, and I end up using that quite a bit in my area. It's not that I needed it. For me, I wanted to this is going to sound funny, and especially when you're talking about the imposter, but it was about credibility and also, you know, if there was an opportunity to teach, that would have been great in addition to this. But I think a lot of it had to do with wanting to get as much as I could out of my education and to be able to, you know, to use that to help my student athletes.
Well, you know, and we talked about kind of piggyback about on your regular presentation you do called A Brand Call You, but I'm sure you heard my opening, and based on the fact you do have a background in counseling, what are your thoughts about that and women striving for the next position?
I think you are so on the mark. I have been here, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 years, and didn't want to use a doctor in front of my name because I thought it sounded so, I just wanted to minimize it. And someone said to me, why would you want to do that? You spent all this time, you know, and energy, and you're smart. Why wouldn't you put that out there? And I'm like, you're right. And even going through the degree, the PhD program, you wonder when they're going to find you out. This is so on target. And we were people in psychology and in counseling, and we were encountering the same thing as women, that we're not supposed to be here. And I think that hurts us so much. We need to be there. We need a place at the table. And I think a lot of this stuff is being heard, especially with the stuff with the NFL going on, that we need a place there. Our position and our beliefs and opinions, they're needed.
Yes. They are. They definitely are. It's interesting that you said we need a place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have this as a platform, as a place to come to, you know, for women of color that
right.
are in athletic organizations. But there are other organizations, which this is how I got into this, was that NACWA, which you also are a member of,
mm-hmm.
is having this author come speak at the convention. And so, you know me, I hear that, and I go, let me go find the book that you're getting, let me read it. And it's just, like, amazing. It's amazing. And so what other organizations are you a member of that can get you to the table? Because one of the things that the book says about fighting the imposter syndrome is to don't stay silent.
Yeah, and I think that we have been silent for a long time. And I think, like, organizations like NACWA really help. I also think that we need to look for, I don't want to say partners in crime, but partners on campus who
mm-hmm.
Also have, you know, like minds about wanting to get our voice heard. I know here on our campus we have, a very small minority of black females in athletics, but we have a very active black caucus on campus with faculty, and they have some of the same issues that we do. So it's a great place to talk and to be with a group that has a mission to get voices heard and to get people at the table. So I... You know, if you can find things on campus, I think that's great.
And that's also to be able to see a different perspective. Because there's something about it when you go like, okay, I'm not the only one that's going through this.
Exactly.
And you don't have to wait for the convention.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And they may have things that they've tried that have worked that you could take back. I mean, we're always... giving each other ideas and running things by each other, and it may give you a little more ammunition.
Yeah, because you see, okay, this worked.
Mm-hmm.
It's like watching a roller coaster and you're going like, okay, they went up and down, but they got off of it. I can go do that too.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I'm just amazed that there's a name for it. Because you know how you can see it? I felt that. And
yeah.
Then I'm like, oh, that's what that was. You know? And so, yeah, I'm ecstatic to hear the other professional women who have gone through the ranks. And now, there is a question. What are some of the strategies that you have used, you know, with your counseling background to kind of fight that? Beyond, like you said, someone mentioned to you about using a doctorate. You know, you had, that was probably, was that a professor or who was it, a colleague who said that?
It actually was another colleague and a female colleague who also has a degree. And I said, you know, you are right that that we also have, there's, in the number of us that are here, if we kind of bonded, we could probably...
Mm-hmm.
things done so that it's not just me going in there, you know, standing on the table saying, listen to me, but it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have a colleague now who also, you know, we can talk about things together and have a plan to come to the table.
Well, let's talk about the self-talk. That's what I really, I want to try to address. What are some of the strategies as it relates to that in your background and working with student athletes? I'm sure you have plenty of practice with, encouraging them.
Yes. One of the things that, and we did this at the conference that you and I met at, is looking at your values, because
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we forget what's important to us. And to actually see them again, you know, we talk about these things are important to us, but to actually look at them and figure out how how do I do these every day? How do people see this in me? And if I value honesty and I am showing it in everything that I do, then the negative self-talk will kind of go away mm-hmm. with that value, because I know that I'm doing this. I know that in every area of my life, I'm showing this. I think that we just get further and further removed from what's important to us.
You're absolutely right. And that's how ironic that you would say that, because the second thing that Joyce Rochelle says when trying to counter the imposter is become familiar with your imposter. What are you trying to prove? To whom and why? So if you already know what your values are and what you're doing, then what your imposter is trying to tell you that would counter that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do think sometimes we're afraid to look at
mm-hmm.
those. And I don't know what we're afraid of, because, you know, most of us are in these positions because we belong. But mm-hmm. we've allowed ourselves to take a back seat for so long that we don't trust those things.
Yeah, we trust what someone else says before we listen to ourselves.
Right, exactly. And that is really dangerous. When we talk about brands, about who you are, if you are not intentional about those things, then somebody else will brand you. You know, you may be the person at the table who doesn't have an opinion. Well, those people at the table have already branded you. They've given you a brand, and you may not like it.
Right. You missed the opportunity.
Yeah.
I do want to go back for 1 second about your administrative track and trying to get some insights. I know you said you had new leadership, and he brought about the fact of sports oversight. What type of advice would you give to those in life skills track that would want to seek the opportunity to have sport oversight? What type of things should they, skills they should gain, and how should they approach that desire?
Right. Well, I think the first thing you have to do is let people know that you want to do more. Like, if you want mm-hmm. to be a sport administrator, people don't know that usually unless you let them know. I tell our student athletes that all the time. People have to know what you want to do before they can help you. I mean, we can't read minds. I don't expect people to know what I want to do. So I think that you have to let, you know, your AD or your supervisor know that you're interested in doing, you know, additional things. excuse me. I think for me, it helps, you know, we know our student athletes, you know, in life skills, we have that. But you also need to know your coaches. Get out there, go to practice, mm-hmm. see what's going on, you know, with them, how they run their programs. I know for us, we did have sport administrators, but we only had a couple. And if your athletic department already has some people who are overseeing, then, you know, you let them know. If they don't, maybe you can get some practice looking at going and having a small sport, you know, a golf or a tennis, where you can learn how they set their budget, learn how they do their travel and their scheduling, but that it's not your main focus. I think having a secondary supervisor is really helpful, because I get to see that. And then next year I can be a primary somewhere because I've had that experience. So I think letting people know what you're interested in and, you know, maybe taking the initiative or letting your supervisor know you want to do this. You know, we don't automatically maybe have these skills on doing scheduling or asking or, you know, when they have to do their itinerary and submit. I don't know how to do that. But now mm-hmm. I do, because I've gone and spent some time with a coach to learn that. I think
so
it's
that's
just taking
good.
A little
that's...
initiative.
So it isn't necessarily to to shadow another administrator, but if you shadow a coach, that can give you a better insight of what, how to close the gap and what the needs are.
Absolutely. I think, you know, an administrator definitely helpful, but a coach is that day-to-day. So I know what that coach needs, what I can advocate for that coach, you know, when we're sitting in budget meetings and the coach, you know, I've seen her and seen what she's had to go through and what her what her recruiting budget looks like. So then I can go and I can really sit there and be an advocate for her during those times.
And I like how you said, because in your the way you have said about being an administrator is being an advocate more than a supervisor. And I think if we take that approach, it's the same as we take working with our student athletes. You know, when we get to know them, we can advocate for them. But if you don't know them, you don't know their desires or where they're trying to go, then you can't advocate. And so that's a real good approach to embracing, because, again, it's something about even when you say advocate, it's like I feel like my heart is open up versus I'm guarded.
Right. I'm a supervisor, and it just sounds like I'm looking for you to mess up.
Right.
Yeah. I want to help you. When you do well, we all do well.
That's very good. I'm writing that down. So definitely make others aware of your desire to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what sports do you oversee? What sports are you an advocate for?
thank you. Men's and women's track and field and cross country. So there are six sports there, which is great. And I ran track in undergrad, so it's really a great fit for me. And my other sport is rowing, which I don't know as much about. I have been to some regattas, but I've learned a lot. Actually, went out in a boat. And can't even remember what they call it. But I've gone out. So I'm learning more and more, which I think is also really helpful. You know, I know my student athletes, and I know that they get up at 6 in the morning to go out on the water. But now I really get to know exactly what they go through, not just, you know, hearing their stories, but actually going out, talking with the coach, watching them practice. I think it makes me do my job better.
Now, you know, the conference that we both spoke at was Conference Carolina, and they had a great deal of female athletic trainers in the room. And so, and you know, my background is sports information, and so I was saying to those young ladies that they are in a good position to seek the next step, because you have a bigger picture. Because as an athletic trainer, you touch all the different sports. And the same thing with the SID, you really just can't get caught up in the hype of that one season. You got another sport coming right behind it, and you have to be able to give those students the same feeling that you gave to the previous one that you just ended.
Yeah.
And so being life skills, it has the same kind of a premise, because you are a life skills professional for all the student athletes. So I think that would be one of those things when you would use to say that I'm ready for that, because I'm in tune to the big picture.
Right, that I know a lot of what's going on and how things are done. I just think that being that sports supervisor, you may get a little bit more. I mean, you know a little bit more about the ins and outs of what goes on. And I think that for most of the sports, it's going to be the same. I mean, you're going to get that same instruction of what's going on in their programs.
Now, and I know that you served on a lot of committees. I tell people all the time, just because you have not played a sport, just because you're not familiar with the sport, if you're an administrator, you can administrate anything.
Absolutely.
So still apply for the position.
Absolutely. And, yeah, it's kind of the same thing when I'm talking with our student-athletes about career. You need to have certain skills, and you need certain skills to be on committees, but they will teach you the other stuff. I mean, that's why they committees have rules and manuals and things like that. You do not have to play that sport to sit on a committee. And I think those are great opportunities to get our voice heard, great opportunities to network with other people to find out what they're doing.
So what committees are you involved with?
Well, right now, I'm actually not on any NCAA committees, which is kind of nice right now. I've done the post-grad scholarship committee, which is fantastic because you get to see all these amazing student-athletes, and you wonder, like, how can they do all of this? And it's so encouraging. So that was a great, great time for me. I have done a lot of other things for the NCAA lately with doing presentations for them, which is, I think, another avenue that we don't look at, that especially people in our line of work and professions, we have things that we can say and help other people. Life skills, I mean, we do a ton of workshops. We know a lot about a lot. So I've had the opportunity to go out and talk to different schools about the things that we do here. We have an incredible leadership academy here. And to be able to go and help other schools implement theirs and talk about what we're doing is fantastic for us, and it's fantastic for me. I've been able to go out and do a DISC assessment, which is a behavioral assessment about effective communication, which I think every department can use that kind of information about communication. We're such believers in the DISC that every one of our staff people will take the DISC this year. And then anytime we hire someone, that's part of their onboarding is they take the DISC to help in communication.
Yeah, assessments are key. When I worked on the conference level, we had a sponsor. Well, we had one of our sponsors actually had interaction with our student athletes. They wanted to have something, to, you know, leadership piece.
Uh-huh.
And so their human resource people came aboard, and they did their assessment that they used for each employee of Food Line. And so it is something that's all going all the way across the board.
Yeah.
Where it is that, you know, everybody does this. And so, and now too, I'm actually doing one tonight at North Carolina Central for their student athlete leaders. I'm doing a DISC assessment for them. So it is part of the step to identify your leadership style, your communication style, because the first thing about leadership is self-reflection. So
exactly. You need to be aware of your own challenges and strengths. Absolutely.
Now, and one thing I wanted to put a plug out there for those administrators that are in compliance, that you can go ahead and start getting yourself out there, because there's so many people who do not know about the NCAA's new eligibility, especially for Division I and Division II. They just have a new sign and scale. And so, you know, talking to parents, the PTA is a good way to learn your community. The guidance counselor, give them a one-on-one. It gets you out there. It gets you, especially when you have information others don't have, it gives you an opportunity to share your knowledge and how you present it. So that's a good opportunity if you want to go and if you want to be an athletic director, you got to be able to communicate and be able to connect with the community and what they need. And so that's a real good step. Now we're gonna take a break, but when we return, we're gonna continue talking with Ms. Cricket Lane about branding you. And if you're listening to A Chat in the Garden with the host Monique A.J. Smith on Survival Radio Network.
Not always easy being a dad.
When's the fairy princess coming?
Any minute now.
What? What do you mean she's not coming?
But it's always worth it.
It's fairy princess!
It is I!
Groove! Zinkle Bell!
Yeah. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
I know it's really you, Drew. I'm just pretending for the other kids.
Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4-DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Cake Cafe Atlanta, where desserts are created and you taste love. Looking to fill your sweet tooth? Do you have a special event or occasion you're planning? Give Cake Cafe Atlanta a call. Located at 368 Candler Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30317. Open Monday to Saturday, 10 to 7 p.m. You can get the best in pies, cakes, cobblers, coffee, brownies, specialty popcorn, and more. Visit their website at www.cakecafeatlanta.com or give them a call, 404-284-0106. That's 404-284-0106. Call Cake Cafe Atlanta today.
Looking for a cafe with a home-like appeal where all who enter feel like they are part of something? Visit My Coffee Shop, located in Eastlake, Atlanta, Georgia. MCS has a full breakfast and lunch menu, offering both hot and cold options, and is home of the amazing Basil Lemonade. But don't forget their assortment of freshly brewed coffees. Come on by at 2462 Memorial Drive, Atlanta, Georgia, 30317. We're pretty sure My Coffee Shop at East Lake will become your coffee shop, too.
FOCUS. Find opportunities, create unique success. Focus is an empower agency that provides motivational tools needed to aid our youth and young adults in the metro Atlanta area. Allow Focus to provide your kids with additional help in developing self-awareness, leadership, communication, and empowerment skills. For more information on how to get started today, go to www.focusfruits.com. Focus, life coaching for youth and young adults.
Welcome back. And I'm your host, Monique J.J. Smith. And welcome to the chat in the garden where Smith is alone. And we're here with Cricket. Cricket? So I want to go ahead and jump right on in and talk about branding you.
Sure. I think that I mentioned earlier that if you don't brand yourself, somebody else will. We think about branding as what people say about you when you're not in the room. So think about what you say about people when they leave a room, and what kind of impression are they making on you. So we need to be intentional, just like Nike and AT&T and all these other companies are intentional about what they do. We need to do that about ourselves. So a brand is going to reflect your core values, your opinions, your behaviors, all that stuff. So what we want to do is make sure that your brand has three things, that it's authentic. Yeah, you know, we're not asking you to be something that you're not, but if you have done that values clarification, you know what your values are. So you know how to be true to you. You know, it, values are about you. Nobody else can give you a can tell you what your values are. So you want to make sure that you're authentic, you're true to who you are. You also want to be consistent. So your actions should align with that brand. You know, if you're saying you're a hardworking person, your behavior should show that. So you want to be consistent. And you want to be clear about how you communicate that. So in your face-to-face communications with people, want to be clear. And also with your online presence, you want to be clear. There should be no ambiguity about who you are, who you say you are. So those are the three things. So how do we do that? So, you know, I've told you what it is and what it needs, how it should be defined, but how do you communicate that to people? So people are always looking at your actions. What are you doing? Are you, excuse me, how is your body language? I joke with a friend of mine about her neutral face. What is your neutral face? When you're sitting there and people look at you, what is your face saying to them? You know, I don't have time for you. Don't bother me. So you got to be, again, intentional about certain things. What does that face look like for you? Your handshake, eye contact. Are you present when people are listening to you? So people are looking at these actions. Excuse me. Also, your appearance. What do you look like when you walk into a room? What's your grooming, your hygiene? What does that look like? You know, for some of us women, it's our posture. When we come into a room, are we owning that room? Or, you know, are we taking a back seat to people? And also addressing appropriately for the occasion. You know, what's the job you want? You should be dressing for that. And it should be, you know, it should be appropriate.
Right.
I also tell, especially our student athletes, about how they're communicating their brand. Think about your resume. What does it say? If someone's looking at it, are they going to say, gosh, I want to interview this person? Are there typos? Did you spill something on it and still send it? You want to make sure that paper that you're sending out represents who you are. So the other promotion is online. What does your online media say about you? Google yourself. Oh, my gosh. See what comes up first. I think a lot of people, I haven't done anything. You don't know what you've been tagged in or where you've been, and somebody may have taken a picture. So it's a good thing to go in, Google yourself, not only web searches, but look at images also to see what's out there. If you're on LinkedIn, which I think is a wonderful networking online site to be on, you know, see if people have endorsed you. You definitely don't want anybody endorsing you and saying something negative about you.
Right.
That's where a lot of people are getting their information these days. What are you saying on Twitter? Are you posting things that will put you on a platform that's positive with your brand? I don't think everybody needs to know your opinions on everything. So, you know, choose what you're going to put out there. So I think it's really important to look at these things, to see what message you're sending out there. I think we don't take enough time to think about, you know, our brand is really a promise. It's what I'm going to give you. So what are you going to promise people?
I like that. Your brand is what you're going to promise to other people.
Right. What am I giving you? You know, when you buy a Nike pair of shoes, they're promising you something. I mean, you are loyal to that brand because it's consistent. You know what you're getting. People, I think that we need to be consistent also in what we promise people.
So when what are people getting when they get you?
They're definitely getting someone who's passionate, and that means on all levels. I mean, I'm passionate in my work. I'm passionate with my friends. I pretty much give you everything. I think I'm hardworking. I think I'm a very loyal person, trustworthy. I'm definitely team-oriented, a collaborative person. I want And I want people to feel as passionate about the things that I do. I know that's really difficult, but I want them to see that in me. I want them to say, oh, my gosh, she loves what she does. She makes an impact on our students. She will do what she needs to do to make things happen. I hope that's what they see. Like when they see me, when I leave that room, that's what people are saying.
She made impact.
Yep, I want to make an impact.
Okay, so what is on the horizon for you, athletics and traveling?
Well, I am definitely going to NACWA. If you have an opportunity to go, it's rejuvenating. It's wonderful to be in the presence of other women who are passionate and committed to helping other women. So I think that if you can go, go. We're always working on things here in our office and life skills. We definitely don't want to kind of sit back. So we're always looking to do more, looking to do different. We're in the process of putting together an app for the phone to get information to our student athletes. So, we've got some things going on.
Well, you know, I failed to address it just in case it was someone who was listening and was not in athletics. What is life skills?
I'm sorry. So this came out years and years and years ago. The Division I athletic directors felt that they got with the NCAA and felt that we needed to do more for our student athletes. So life skills really is helping our student athletes in areas of career. And we know that there are these things on campus, but we also know that our student athletes aren't always able to get to these things. So it's helping them with their career development, their personal development, you know, looking at these workshops and helping them make better decisions and learning about themselves. It's getting them out in the community, helping them, give back. We also hear leadership is really important to us. So that's one of our life skills is helping them, you know, helping them lead themselves so that they can help and lead other people. So in academics, although we have a separate group that handles academics, but that's also a part of life skills. We want to make sure that our students leave here with a degree. So we're going to help them, assist them in doing that. That's where we are.
Well, I failed to say this, but I want to have you on just for a few more minutes. So if you wanted to get on, jump on the line, and ask Cricket a question, the number is 347-989-8385. Again, 347-989-8385. And I hit one, and our producer will try to get you on the line. So I want to shed some light on your counterparts at Division II. You do have some kind of relationship with Division II. Would you like to share that?
I do. I have a spouse who's an athletic director for Division II University, and it's wonderful because we get to talk about, you know, the differences and the similarities, and he loves being where he is because he does get that contact with the student athletes a lot and bringing in programming and helping them be all that they can be at that level. So I really appreciate the Division II and Division III. I think that sometimes they are overlooked because Division I gets, you know, they're on TV, they're everywhere. But those student athletes and those coaches work just as hard.
Well, let's talk. We've been trying to cover the balance part of women in athletics. So how is it with somebody who's also in the business? How does that balance?
Well, it probably helps because I know where, you know, where he's going to be at 7 on Wednesday night because there's a volleyball game. But he knows that of me. So, you know, the time that we do get to spend together, we make the most of it. But we understand each other's role. And I think that really helps us in our balance.
But, you know, you didn't start out in athletics. You started out in counseling.
That's
but he
true.
Was already in athletics?
No. Actually, when when we met, he was an attorney. So
oh.
we kind of made that together, which has been nice also. But it's understanding, I think, your partner's their motivation and what they want to do. I knew, you know, when he decided that he did not want to be an attorney anymore and that he wanted to go into athletics, I knew that I needed to let him do that because it was important to him. And mm-hmm. understanding that, I mean, he loves his job. So I think when you have two people that love their job and happen to love the mm-hmm. same job, it's fantastic.
Love your job. Yeah, that's true.
Love my job.
Love to communicate it.
Yeah.
Well, Cricket, I want to say thank you for taking this time. I know this is a busy time for
yes.
you.
Yes. But this is great. I appreciate you taking the time to provide this forum for us.
Well, it is a joy. It really gives a joy. And it's like things just fall into place because, again, you know, with Candy being so open about her feelings about taking a job and how it took a whole village for her to go ahead and say, yes, I want to apply for the AD job.
Right.
And then I was reading the book, and then I said, okay, let me see if Cricket can fill in for Diantha, for she had a couple conflicts. And in branding and knowing who you are, what your authentic self, it just tied right in.
It sure has.
It just confirms that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yes, you are.
Well,
again, thank you.
I'll talk to you in the Tar Heels, and I'll see you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to take another break, and when I return, I'll talk some more about the imposter syndrome.
Do you have tax issues, owe back taxes, or need tax relief? Contact L&B Tax Service today. L&B offers you over 15 years of expertise and first-class tax service for individuals, professionals, and business owners. With nationwide service, you can easily find a location near you. Contact one of our tax professionals through our website, lbtaxservice.com. That's www.lbtaxservice.com. L&B Tax Service Incorporated. Tax professionals that you can trust.
Are you looking for a reputable company that offers human resource consulting services, workshops, and speakers for individuals and organizations? Give Miss PDW Enterprises a try. PDW topics cover building your personal brand, job seeker preparation, and business planning workshops. Visit their website at www.misspdwenterprises.com or give them a call at 678-360-4112. Miss PDW Enterprises, LLC, where engagement is key. Be sure to let them know SRN sent you.
You are a waste. A loser. Everyone hates you. Why don't you just stay in your car and keep driving? I'm serious. Drive until you run out of gas and get out of your car and walk until you find someone who doesn't think you're dumber than bricks. Could take a while, but at least all that walking might burn a couple of calories.
You may not witness bullying like this every day. Your kids do. They want to help, but they don't know how. Visit StopBullying.gov to learn safe, simple ways your child can help stop bullying. Be more than a bystander at StopBullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back. And I'm voting AJ Smith, your host. It's been a pleasure chatting this morning on the garden with Dr. Cricket Lane. And again, for those out there who have had the pleasure of earning their doctorate, use it. Use it as your brand. And no more than to be your authentic self, but also let others know that it's a path that can also be taken. Now, if you were tuning in to hear Dianthea Ford Key of Mississippi Valley State University, she will be joining us in November. Now, I want to go down the trail a little bit more about this imposter syndrome. Here are six questions to determine if you are in the middle of an imposter syndrome. Number one, when people praise me for something I've accomplished, I'm afraid I won't be able to live up to that expectation of me in the future. Two, at times I feel my success has been due to some kind of luck. Three, sometimes I'm afraid others will discover how much knowledge or ability I really lack. Four, when I've succeeded at something and received recognition for my accomplishments, I have doubts that I can keep repeating that success. Five, if I'm going to receive, I often compare my abilities to those around me, and I think they may be more intelligent than I am. And six, and lastly, if I'm going to receive a promotion or recognition of some kind, I hesitate to tell others until the accomplishment is a fact. Now, if you can affirm any of those as a yes for yourself, then you may have potential of being in the middle of an imposter syndrome. And Joyce Roche says to try to combat those things are, number one, don't stay silent. Find a way to speak about your fears with a trusted friend, a coach, a mentor, your partner, a therapist, or a journal, to write it down in a journal. Two, become familiar with your imposter. What are you trying to prove? And to whom? And why? And lastly, exercise your sense of humor. Try to keep a sense of perspective to laugh as much as possible, especially. So again, I'm saying that this Rochelle, George Roche, is going to be a keynote speaker. And if you don't miss anything else, I would say definitely come and hear this. For those who've been in the business for years, those who are bustling in the business. And I also have the book is also located on srn.com, Good Call. And so, again, the name of the book is called The Infinite Path, No Hope, covers self-doubt to embrace success. And it covers the psychological part of it, but it also has a wonderful profile. And even one of them has BET's Devin Lee talking about some of her insecurities that she has overcome. And actually, it's not insecurity. It's a little different from this imposter syndrome. So if you want to get clarification and want to get some skills about how to attack this, I say get the book and hopefully come out and think, Ms. Roche. The book as well. And so this has been one of those shows that is divine adventure. When Dianthea said that she had a conflict of meetings and she couldn't change, this came about, and I felt that this is something that
that can assist everyone who is a listener on the show. And we've all gone through this in some manner. And hopefully, as usual, there are some tools on here that can help you be more effective leader. And we had a wonderful Cricket Lane, to share. And it was ironic that her background was in counseling. And she is passionate. And she actually knows what she wants to do. She's not letting anybody define where she wants to be. And presently, she does not have a desire to be an athletic director, but she's in a place of influence. So leadership is about having influence. So she has got great impact. And she sought out ways to be of impact by making sure that she's an advocate for those that she's leading. And I think that's one of the best things to try to grab hold to, especially in leadership, is to define yourself so others can't define you. So we've had, closing out the show, as always, I want to wish a wonderful shout out and thank you to Clark Garrison of Survival Radio Network for having me join the family, and the brand designer, Nikki Curry, for identifying this wonderful opportunity. Join me next Tuesday at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time, when I guess will be the Dr. Ingrid Ricker McCree of North Carolina Central University. And it's ironic that she's also being honored by NASA, as the Division I Athletic Director of the Year. And so get your questions ready and put them out there so we can have a good dialogue with her next Tuesday. And as always, if you can, if you're on Facebook, please join us on Chatting with Godly Women. We can continue the dialogue and be a service to you as you journey on your quest for excellence in athletic administration. I've been a wonderful day chatting with Godly Women, Monique A.J. Smith, and have a significant rest of the day. Thank you. Hey!